Hello, brothers and sisters. It's Wednesday night, and this is Jonathan Ritter. Hope you guys had a good Wednesday. Down here in Louisiana, we got quite a bit of rain, and it was really wet today. But just keep us in y'all's prayers in Louisiana. We're still trying to recover from that hurricane and Laura. And then, of course, when you look across the nation and especially America, you know that hurricane that hit Florida, and then you got the fires over in California, and then you have all this rioting and looting. And be in prayer for our nation, especially the elections coming up, and it's going to be up on us before we know. And we are. I was telling my wife just before I done this, is spiritual warfare, man. Spiritual warfare. Man, when you look at the climate and 100+ years of us turning our back on God, and now there's a movement in the nation, you know, to try to turn back and to reach those biblical principles. And when you do that, the devil is hell-bent on destroying everything. And when we look at these writings and looting, you know, of course, in Ephesians, which I'm going to get into tonight a little bit. We'll start a spiritual warfare sermon again, our sermon series, all on this website. But, you know, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, guys, you know. But against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So I'm going to start a spiritual warfare sermon series again. I've done this maybe 3-4 months ago, maybe 5, maybe. But you can go back in the archives and pull those up. And also, I have a spiritual warfare Bible study I've been posting every month. So I encourage you guys to check out these resources. And if you're going through them, you have any questions, just hit me up on my website. Or I'm on Facebook right now until they remove me. But my website is, of course, wakeupamericachurch.com. And you can get on there, and you can have a place where you can email me. I check my emails. I try to check them daily. So tonight, this is going to be the first sermon series on spiritual warfare. And of course, the key passage for spiritual warfare is Ephesians 6, and it's starting at verse 10 through 18. So we're going to read through this and then read and pray, and we'll just see where the good Lord takes us tonight. I'm not going to try to get too in depth and deep tonight about it. We're just going to see what the Lord takes us on this. So Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 18. If you have your Bibles, verse 10. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take upon you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, thank you for another chance to talk about your word, Lord. Guide and direct this sermon. Let your Spirit be made known to whoever is out there listening to this, Lord, that they may never heard a spiritual warfare message. Lord, let their hearts be open to the word, that they realize now, if they are a child of God, they're involved in a spiritual war. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just be with our nation as we get closer to the election, Lord, and the civil unrest that will increase as we get to this election, Lord. We know America has fallen. We know that America has turned her back on God. Lord, I pray, Lord, let this movement continue. Let us turn our face back to the one and our only true hope, and that is in Jesus Christ. And let us stand on the Word of God firm and without shifting. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just once again be with this sermon. And whoever's out there, I pray, Lord, that they just hear it and that they're encouraged and that they understand we're in a war and that they're ready to and prepare to do battle. Pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I look at these passages, this passage in Ephesians 6:10 through 18, and how I kind of, my definition of spiritual warfare that I've kind of came up with after studying the Bible, you know, and I'm still studying the Bible hard. I'll be studying the Bible hard until my last breath. And of course, this definition can change. But to me, spiritual warfare, I see as a close examination of the individual battles that believers face every day that clearly indicates a war all around us that we cannot see, but we can see the physical consequences in this world. So a close examination, I mean, you look at it really close. And when we're going through things in life, these individual battles, and remember, not everything, there's not a devil behind everything. There's, you know, if you get a car, a flat, and it blows out, you know, it's not the car devil causing that. We got to be careful putting, giving Satan credit where he's nowhere in the mix, right? But, individual battles, when I'm talking about these individual battles, you know, when you start hearing about churches being shut down, the coronavirus, right? See, in California, specific churches have stood up and they're going to appear that they may be fined or in jail. That is spiritual warfare. When we stand for our rights as Christian and on the Word of God, and then of course, we know the governor in California will allow casinos to be open and bars to be open, and they don't get no fines. You clearly see that is a battle. We can see it, but there is a good and bad. There is a good and evil you would look at, and that's spiritual warfare too. In a sense, there's two opposing forces. There's good and there's evil. You know, I don't know if you guys keep track of with the news and everything. This Netflix show called Cuties. It's appalling. And if you guys haven't heard of this, of course, you're on Facebook. There's a petition out there to boycott Netflix. That's, you know, I'm just speaking the word out there to you guys. Y'all can, you know, the Holy Spirit will convict you and guide you and direct you on that. But this documentary or this show or whatever you want to call it, movie, it exploits 11-year-olds to dance provocatively. It's a sexual draw to the audience to look at these 11-year-olds doing these striptease or these very sexual dances. Not many people know that when you look at Cuties, it took them 6 months of casting. Listen to 6 months of casting for that show, meaning there were people watching these kids dance and choosing which ones they wanted. There's a spirit, a demonic spirit associated with that. If you keep track of our nation and the pull toward normalizing pedophilia, and that is what it boils down to, is to where, and they call it age fluency, meaning age don't matter. If you're 40 and you want to have sex with a 11-year-old, that's okay. Age doesn't matter. That is a real movement, and it's gaining traction in our nation. You know, and you may say to yourself, "Oh, that there ain't no way that'll happen." You know, when I was in my 20s, I never thought that I would see two men get married, or a woman and woman get married, and saying that's okay, and having churches go along with doing the marriage, and then trying to place it as a civil right, meaning you could get prosecuted if you do not recognize that sanction. And believe it or not, of course, back in California, there's this thing called the Equality Bill, or Equality Act. I post a few articles on my website. I encourage you guys to check that out. But basically, in a nutshell, that is saying, one aspect of it is, I have to recognize that a same-sex marriage is under God. If I say anything about it that is considered discrimination, hate, they can arrest me. That is a real thing they're trying to push. They've tried to get it passed several times, and it has failed. Spiritual warfare, guys. I say these things to bring your mind. You see that physical. You see cuties. And you see them trying to sexualize these 11-year-old kids. That is evil. And as Christians, we stand up and say, no, we will not watch this. No, we will not promote this. No, we will not give our money to that. Then we are engaging in spiritual warfare, meaning we're standing for the Word of God, standing on the truth of the Word of God against the evil that is prevailing toward this movement to normalize pedophilia. If we don't stand, as it says in verse 11 in Ephesians, to stand against, and in that phrase you see the wiles of the devil, that is the schemes, that is the cunningness of the devil. We have to stand. But we don't stand in our own strength. And of course, you go to verse 10. It says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Meaning strong in the Lord. I'm telling you, when we stand in the strength of our Lord. And of course, in the power of his might. Look, God created this world. It was beautiful. He is powerful. He's all-knowing. He sees all. He knows all. When we stand in his strength and we surrender all and give it over to him, then we are prepared to stand against anything that Satan can throw at us, because we're not doing it at our own strength. So when we look at that spiritual warfare, trying to put a picture to it, is a invisible war, which we don't see the angels and the demons playing out, or most of us don't really see that. Some will say they see the spiritual realm, but that could happen, but it's not likely. But we can see the physical manifestations of the consequences of the evil and the good. Netflix is promoting it. They have not sighted the pool cuties, and they're still promoting it. They're still going to say, they're even saying that we should watch it. And we're overreacting. Pedophilia is not a overreaction. You see, Satan wants our children, and he's been getting our children for a long time, especially in America. So when we look at that, we need to keep that in mind. Here, I'll pull a scripture. Okay. So, there's clearly two sides. There's light and there's dark. There's good and there's evil, as I mentioned earlier. And we need to understand that God created this world, and it was beautiful. You can see that in the Genesis accounts. If you never have read Genesis 1 through 3, I encourage you guys to read that. It's such beautiful, God creating this world and the animals, and then of course he created man, and then he created woman from Adam's rib. And it was a beautiful paradise, the Bible tells us. And then everything, you know, you didn't have this extreme heat, you didn't have this extreme cold, you didn't have hurricanes and tornadoes and flu and all these viruses and all the sickness. You didn't have the pains, you know. I know the older I get, the more pains I feel when I wake up in the morning. My back hurts, my leg hurts, my knee hurts, sometimes my head hurts. I just want to crawl back in bed and say, I don't want to get up. I'm hurting too bad. I guess pain lets you know you're alive, right? That's why I keep telling myself. But see, this world was perfect, and the animals in there, they worked in, of course, perfect harmony. They did not harm each other. They were plant eaters. Can you imagine that? That's crazy. We definitely don't have that now. And of course, he created Adam and then Eve, and somewhere in the mix, you know, Eve was deceived by Satan. Satan entered the serpent, and the serpent deceived Eve, and then Adam follow after, and there was a somewhat form of breakdown of communication, right? Adam didn't communicate to Eve like he should have, but there was, when they did that, they took of the fruit and of that tree. Sad, right, guys? The fall of man, that's what we have. That's what you'll hear, that term, fall of man. They took of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. They took of the fruit, and then sin entered this world. The original sin, you'll hear the original sin. That is the original disobedience. That's when the curse, that's when we're under a curse, God. And this world is cursed. God created this world, but we corrupted his creation. So now Satan gets to walk around, or I'll say walk. I mean, if you want to put some feet to him or whatever, he goes to and fro seeing who he may devour, and his demonic host, the angels, is Satan. It's Satan's world now. You know, you see that in Matthew 4 when he takes Jesus up and he said, look at my kingdoms of this one. And that's how you get that. This is his world. And we know that Jesus is coming back one day. And when he does, everything will be corrected as it should. It kind of, we say, back to its default, right? Back to the paradise that was lost. You see, when sin came into this world, you can view sin as a cancer. It's sad to watch little kids, they're suffering with cancer, even with older adults, and you know how cancer just tears them down. And then they, if their treatment ain't working, it just basically destroys them, and they die. And that's what sin did. You would clearly see that when they, when Jesus was warning Adam and Eve, he said, if you eat of this tree, you surely will die. And he was speaking, of course, when you see, you will die. At that point, at that point, you really have two deaths. He was kind of talking about the physical death. See, Adam and Eve, they were not meant to ever perish. They were not meant to die. And when they took of the fruit, then that physical death, and of course, a spiritual death accompanied that. Of course, we see that that's when God kills the animals, and that was the first atonement, the blood of an animal, and that led into the whole sacrificial system that we later see in Moses, the law of Moses, and Leviticus, and you'll see all these sacrifices they made, burnt offering, wave offering, sin offering, I mean, ton of it, right? And it all comes back to that original sin, to the disobedience, and from everything of that original sin stemmed everything. Of course, you get Cain and Abel. Cain slew Abel, and you have the first murder. Everything just kind of stemmed from that. And then, of course, we have the law of Moses rolls in there. And then, of course, we know the law pointed that we can't do it on our own. That's why we need Jesus. And when you look at that and you look at the New Testament, the New Covenant, because he broke his old covenant because we broke the old covenant. So he created a new covenant. Not saying the Old Testament is not important, just saying that the Old Testament points to that new covenant. And you'll see in Genesis 3:15, the first prophetic promise that's in the Bible is, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and I shall bruise his heel. This is simply recognizing the two sides, warning against each other. The promise of seed from a woman, we know is Mary, gave birth to Jesus. He is the light. He is the redeemer. But Satan thought he had him through the death, you know, the crucifixion and the cross, right, which was horrible. And it rips my heart up just think about it, because Jesus had to suffer like that, and he had to take on the sins of the world. And, you know, of course, Satan thought he achieved victory once again. And, of course, Satan bruised his heel. But, of course, we know he will bruise his head. So we take that into account. You got two sides. You got Jesus. You got Satan. Now, if you really want to, I don't know if you guys have ever really looked into who Satan was. Of course, we know who he is. He is a destroyer. But, you see, Satan was always not Satan. Before Adam and Eve, his name was Lucifer. You can see that in Isaiah 14, verse 12 through 15. He said, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which do awake the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, and will exert my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, and I'll ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the size of the pit." Notice in Isaiah 14, verse 12 through 15, you will see, "I will, I will, I will." You know, it's really, you know, thinking the I, and I call it the I Titus, and I've heard preachers say that, so I can't coin that for myself. I Titus, I can do this. You know, we can't do nothing. You know, when I encounter people who say, "Oh, well, I preached this great sermon," or "I healed this person," you know, you're all really operating off your own power. You must be a lot stronger than God. And to me, I don't do nothing in my power. And especially if I preach, and if you guys ever see me physically in a church preaching, you would clearly hear me say that it's not me. And if I say anything motivating, I say anything important, I say something that convicts, something that encourages, it's all the Holy Spirit. Thus said the Lord, right? We are messengers of God. I would say don't kill the messenger, but you can see sometimes the messengers got killed. Isaiah was one of them, right? But, and then we go, and well, I'll say Isaiah, Ezekiel. And then you look at Ezekiel 28, verse 14 through 17. Here is it said, "Thou art a anointed cherubim that covered, and I've set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, and thou walk up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in the ways from the day that with thy credit till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of the merchandising that filled with the midst of thee with violence, and thy sin, before I will cast thee as a profane out of the mountain of God, and will destroy thee, O covering cherubim. from the midst of the stones of fire, and thy heart lifted up because of thy beauty, and thou hast conquered corrupt thy wisdom by the reason of thy brightness. And I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings, and they will behold thee. You see, Satan was a... Well, I don't like calling him Lucifer, but, you know, he fell and he became Satan. But you see, Satan, or Lucifer, his original title or whatever, is he was an angel, he was a cherubim, he was a high class of the angels, he was holy, he was wise, he was beautiful, right? He was among the cherubims. You hear that, see that word covering, guardian? He was in charge. He was in charge of the other cherubims. And of course, we know he got, as we say down in the South, too big for his britches. And in Revelations 12, you see where he was cast down and he took a third of the stars. And when you see stars in that contents, he's talking about a third of the angels with him that fell in. Of course, we know the third of the angels, they become demons. You can kind of draw that indirect, although we're not, it's not explicitly written. A lot of preachers will not get it where it doesn't, in the Bible, of course, in the King James Version, don't give you explicit scripture saying angels become demons, but it's one of those things that's common sense. You can piece the whole Bible together. If you study the whole Bible together, you can piece that together. And of course, we say Satan, misery loves company, so his smooth talking, talking to the angels to overthrow God, of course, we know they lost, right? And now the angels are down here, demons, and that's where you get the army of hell, and that's the principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness, the spiritual forces of wickedness. And yeah, I have posted an article on my website, on the spiritual warfare website, on a breakdown of these four principalities. We're not getting in too big detail on those. I encourage you to go check them out. But if you really want to look at it, you look at principalities as chief. They're kind of the head demons. And then it works down from there all the way to the spiritual forces of wickedness. And we can look at them as unclean spirits that we or the world has a deal on a daily basis. So he is organized. And so it's important to recognize that. And to kind of get a little feel of who he is, now that he's fell, we know that he hates everything that's good. He know that is for God, and we know that in this world he wants, you know, you hear that scripture in the Bible where they will call good evil and evil good. That's what he wants. He wants people to say, hey, you know, support cuties. It's nothing harm. It's just fun, but. No, it isn't. It's harmful. As you know, as the days of Noah, if you follow Noah, and man, he had to preach righteous for a lot of years, 100+ years, and during that time, they did everything in their imagination. I hate to say, America is pretty much doing that now. But when we look a little bit closer, our enemy, Satan, we know he fell. We know he hates everything that's good. But more specifically in Scripture, you see John 10:10, it calls Satan a thief. He come not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And of course, we take that reverse. That's darkness. That's evil. I am Jesus. I am, that is Jesus, come that Jesus may give us life and that we may have it more abundantly. And of course, 1 Peter Chapter 5, verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking who he may devour. And of course, John 8:24, that's John chapter 8, verse 44, tells us, ye are your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, bound not in truth, because there is no truth in him. He has no truth. When he speaks, he lies. He speaks as his own, for he is a liar, and he is the father of all lies. And we know he is the father of all lies, guys. The next sermon series on this would probably be on trying to recognize the voices, you know, that goes in your head. And then recognize, is that God speaking or is that Satan speaking? Sometimes he disguises himself as angel of light. And we clearly know he isn't. But we look at this darkness, we look at this evilness, and we know, as the beginning, of course, at Ephesians 6, and we're looking at the, I guess we're just hitting on 10, 11, 12. We may go back to that next Wednesday night, but it said, finally, our brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. See, we can stand in the Lord and the power of his might. We can stand in the light. And when we do that, of course, I pointed out earlier, we can stand against the wiles, the cunning, and the schemes of the devil. So it doesn't matter what he throws at us, as long as we're standing on that rock. And that rock, of course, is Jesus Christ, right? We know 1 John 4, verse 4, says, "You are of God, little children." And of course, we know he overcome them because because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. You see, our God is great. And when we come to Jesus and when we lay it all on the line and we say, "Hey, here I am. I don't know what it looks like." You don't have to say a special prayer. You could just empty your heart out to Jesus and say, "Here it is. I surrender all," right? I love that song, "I Surrender All." I surrender all, right? And the Holy Spirit comes in. He lives inside of us. And within that Holy Spirit, that's the strength. That's what it's saying. Because greater is he in us, the Holy Spirit in us, that's in this world, which is Satan's world for now. So when we're standing in God, and we're operating more, and we look at Galatians 5, and it speaks walking in the Spirit and less in the flesh. When we're walking like that, we are better prepared to do battle against our enemy. Because if we're not standing in the Word of God, if we're not walking in the Spirit, if we're not manifesting the fruit of the Holy Spirit throughout life, and that is clearly love and long-suffering and goodness and gentleness and temperance and meekness and joy and peace and faith, right? We should always, every day, examine ourselves and see if we are walking in the faith, in the Spirit, daily. That's very important, guys. And when we do that, we stand. And our hearts are prepared for every battle that we may face every morning and throughout the day and throughout the night. And when we do this, we become better soldiers for Jesus. Because we're soldiers regardless if we truly have opened our hearts to God. Maybe poor soldiers, but we're still soldiers. We have to recognize when we say "I do" to Jesus. Matthew 6, verse 24 through 27 says this, "And then Jesus said to his disciples," and of course, when we say "I do" to Christ, we are a disciple. We are a soldier for Christ. And, you know, disciple is a follower. Basically, disciple breaks down follower of Jesus. Well, Christian breaks down the follower of Jesus, which leads to a disciple. And a disciple is ultimately a soldier for the cause. Peter tells us, I think it's Peter, maybe Paul. Paul tells us that we are supposed to wage a good warfare. And in this Matthew 16, verse 24 through 27, it says, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life my sake shall find it. For what is a man profit? He shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with the angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." So, looking at that, is we have to not deny ourselves every day. We have to see that we're in the faith. We have to see that we're walking in the Spirit. And preparing our hearts, if you have in the mornings, waking up a little bit earlier and just crying out to God. And then, of course, during the day, you know, you can do walking prayer. I also call working prayer when you're just kind of, if you can, get somewhere quiet and just get that long time with Jesus, of course, at night before you go to bed. We should be a people of prayer. So, saying all this, and in closing, we need to recognize, in short, in a kind of this sermon tonight, in a nutshell, is we're in a spiritual war. This spiritual war has been raging on humanity since the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were created, and the garden was created, and that our enemy Satan deceived, they allowed Satan to deceive them, and then that curse entered this earth, this world. And before that, of course, you had the fall of Lucifer. So you could say spiritual warfare also took place in heaven before it came down to earth. It's kind of deep, but we recognize our enemy. He's a fallen being, and the only power that he has is a power that we allow him to have. And if we do not recognize that, we're walking around, and the Satan can easily get you up in that corner and have you. You know, if you ever watch boxing, when they get you in that corner and they're just pounding you down, and you don't have to take that. Because if you're a child of God, you have a power living inside, not according to my words, according to Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 12, said, "Follow my brother, be strong in the Lord." And the power is mighty. It said, be strong. And it said, oh, you should be strong. It said, be strong. That's an active verb. Be strong. Stand in the word of God, stand in the power of his might. And if you do that, anything, the schemes, the wiles of the devil, Satan, his demonic hosts, there's nothing that they can hit you with that you can't overcome. Yes, sometimes we have to endure hard things in life. And I think of Job, how he endured. But in the end, he said, my Redeemer lives. So everything that we go through in this life, we grow. Everything we go through this life, we learn. We learn how to be a better disciple. We learn how to be a better soldier. We learn how to be how to wage a better warfare against our enemy. And it's all about letting our light shine regardless of what's going on in our life, and standing on the word of truth. And when we see stuff like cuties and the more pull toward legalizing pedophilia. And I guess if I was preaching before my time, I would have been preaching about legalizing homosexuality. And some people are like, oh, that would never happen. But you can clearly see today it's happened. And when I speak of the equality bill, that is real. You can look it up. It's horrible. If they can get that passed. Which right now the current administration, Trump, they're not able to get that pass. If Trump loses and they can get a Democratic president in there, then that bill would get passed. And clearly that's going to be a target to people like me that preach on the word and the truth of the gospel, because that is spiritual warfare, and I'll take it. If it's God calls me to go to jail, I'll be there. I will not stop preaching against these satanic forces tearing our nation apart. So that's kind of a little segue into spiritual warfare. Once again, check my website out. I'm working on a spiritual, try to post a spiritual warfare Bible study every month. I think I have 3 up right now. I'm working on the 4th one to post for next month. Next month, of course, is October. That's Halloween. I was actually working on a warfare, knowing your enemy, Satan. And I was like, ain't that kind of unusual to post that it's Halloween. It will be close to Halloween that month. But I encourage you guys to check that out. Do the work study on there. If you have any questions, hit me up. I have my phone number on there. Leave a voicemail, and let me kind of know who you are, because I do I do get threats. And of course you have my Facebook, you can, and then of course my website, and I'm working on getting a P.O. box. So if you guys need to send me any mail or anything, I had to get my, home address out there. there's a lot of evil, out there that wants to destroy, but, God's good. Everything may look like it's falling apart, but I promise you it's falling in place. Love you guys. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, thanking you for the opportunity, Lord, just to talk about spiritual warfare, Lord, to open the scriptures up to whoever's out there that needs to hear it. Pray, Lord, that you be with them this tonight. I pray, Lord, if they're in areas like California or these storm areas, Lord, and especially here, be with us in Louisiana as we're recovering from the hurricane, Lord. Many people are still hurting from that. Lord, I pray, Lord, you just be with us. You help us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you guide us and you direct us to be that light that you need us to be against this darkness that's surrounding this world. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we'd start moving back toward you, facing you, Lord, with the word of truth and with a encouragement and a hope to be the light when nobody else wants to be it. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Y'all have a good night.